All right. So, in this lesson, I'd like to teach, explore a bit about what I consider to be the consecutive stages of a one-on-one coaching business. Those stages that most coaches along this prosperous coach path often step through, going from not knowing at all how to create clients or how to meet people or how to create coaching conversations to the most advanced that I know of so far. So I've created a sequence of six stages, which I'm going to go into some details around. And really, it's the first four stages, which is the majority of what I'm going to be helping you with within the Coaching with Integrity School. And thinking of your coaching business in terms of stages helps in a number of ways. One of the most helpful things about thinking in terms of stages is getting a sense of where you're at in your coaching business, getting a sense of what are the things for you to be focusing on, what are the things for you to be working on, what are the skill sets for you to be developing at that stage, and being able to measure your progress based on which stage you're in. Like, one of the biggest mistakes that coaches make when they're towards the beginning of their coaching business is they're too focused on how much money are they making, or they're too focused on if they're not making money. They might even be making a lot of progress and be learning a lot and be developing. And actually, they might be doing quite well in the stage that they're at, but they have this judgment that they're failing, or they're really worried that they're failing because the money isn't rolling in yet. They're not making a living yet. They somehow think that once they have the training and as soon as they put out the sign, the little shingle out front, that they are now a coach, suddenly they should be making a living. They should be able to replace their salary with the solopreneur income of a one-on-one coach. And that doesn't come until later. Really, that doesn't come until stage four in the stages that I'm going to outline here today. So as I talk about these stages, I think of them both in terms of the nature of the stage, the nature of what kind of work is being done there, and also, to make it a little bit more tangible, for each stage, what's the metric or the metrics that you're really paying attention to for that stage? Like, especially like the metrics within the Coaching with Integrity School. So conversations, connections, billings, client creation time. Like, what are the metrics that really matter for this particular stage? And what are the activities of this particular stage? Like, you have a certain amount of your calendar which is devoted to your coaching business, but depending on which stage you're in, there's going to be different types of activities that you want to be putting into that time. For different stages, you want to be like, those hours are going to look different for different stages. And also, for each stage, what are the skills that you want to get good at while you're in that stage? Because what are the more fundamental skills? What are the skills that you want to get really good at this stage so that later on, if for some reason you sort of fall back into this stage, you have the skills, you've already built the skills to actually much more quickly move past. For example, a common thing that I've seen happen for coaches who get a taste of success of being a prosperous coach for a while. They have a windfall of like lots of clients, they make lots of money, and it sort of feels like, okay, great, I'm done. I've finished. I've made it. But then those clients gradually go away and they actually find themselves back in an earlier stage. So if they kind of had some accidental success, if they were able to sort of like skip ahead to a later stage, which is great, like they got to experience that, they get to develop some of their skills, they got to become a better coach within that stage, you're still gonna want to be really good at the earlier stages. You're still gonna want to be really good at creating conversations, be really good at enrollment. Like at usually early on, but sometimes you'll be flying high for a while, and then you'll be perhaps humbly, you'll find yourself back in one of these earlier stages, and you'll have the opportunity to get good at that stage. So for each of the stages, I'm going to include a description. What's the metric or metrics to pay attention to for that stage? What are the activities for that stage? And what are the skills for that stage? All right, so go into the whiteboard. Right, for the first stage, this is a stage where, like, this is even, it's practically like a pre-business stage. But I do want to honor it because there is a big skill set here to learn. There's this big skill set to get really good at even before you're inviting people into coaching conversations. So this is the stage of connecting. So when you're in the stage of filling your calendar with just connecting with people, like this is the stage of being a people person. This is meeting lots of people. This is being interested in other people, being curious, being interested instead of trying to be interesting. So one of the things that is connected to this territory of connecting is client sourcing. I'm going to go into more detail on client sourcing in a separate lesson, but I want to like honor it here. Client sourcing is like that question of where do I meet people? Where do I meet clients? What's a good place for me to meet or start creating clients? And that's going to be all over the map. It's a huge exploration. And to keep it simple for now, for the stage of connecting people, just make sure that you're out in the world. Do whatever you enjoy doing. Like whatever activities, whatever communities that you're already in, just double down on that. Whether you go physically out in the world, whether you're attending events or conferences or festivals, or whether you're participating in online groups. Like really, this is about like going out and meeting people. So the metric for connecting is, well, connections. Like you don't, when you're getting to this, like you don't even need to care whether you're creating coaching conversations yet. Like, can you just get good at making connections with people? Can you get good at meeting people and having interesting conversations? So the activities for the connecting stage is meeting people and having good conversations. And perhaps another way to put the skill is it's sort of like just being good at making friends. So pretty straightforward. But I want to give you permission before, like, if you're having trouble even having people to invite into a coaching conversation, having people to have a conversation with, let it be so simple that your assignment is just figuring out how to connect with people. So like this, like let's it that be really simple. Okay, and it's pretty straightforward. One. All right, so next stage. Next stage is the coach like hell stage. The goal for coaching like hell for this stage, the metric actually that you want to be maximizing here is you want to create a lot of coaching conversations. You are learning how to go from connecting with lots of people to bridge the gap from connecting with them to inviting them into coaching conversations. So as you become a master of this stage of your coaching business, your calendar starts to become full of gifted coaching conversations. You get the opportunity to serve a lot of people. You get the opportunity to be coaching a lot. One of the things that's really important for a coaching business is that you have, like you don't go for too long without coaching someone. You want to have a healthy number of coaching conversations per week so that even if you're not making any money at all yet, you're still in that flow. You're still getting experience. You're still working with a variety of people. Like you still get to coach. And one of the important things in the coach like health stage is do not care about making a living. Do not care about making any money at all while you're in this stage. Your goal is to get good at enrolling people enough to get them into a gifted coaching conversation. So, when you're coaching like hell, you want to fill your calendar. So, you want to actually define what your capacity is. How many time slots do you have per week for coaching conversations? How much time in your calendar do you have available for coaching conversations? Like you can decide that upfront. Even if you have zero conversations scheduled, you can define what's your capacity. This is so that you don't go too far in this as well, so that you don't end up coaching way too much and not really taking care of yourself and being kind of resentful about how much time that you're putting into coaching. Like you can put a limit on it. And then your goal is to learn how to fill that time. And the art, like the really like the skill set that you're going to be learning in this stage is what I refer to as developing conversations. And there'll be more training on this in the future. Developing conversations is the art of going from saying hi to someone, starting to have a social conversation, starting to have like just an interesting conversation, to listening more deeply, listening with the ears of a coach, listening for where there's a problem or where there's an opportunity for someone. It's the art of doing whatever you do to encourage them to share a little bit more, to bring the conversation a little bit deeper, to help them feel a little bit more open with you, to share a little bit more vulnerably, to kind of get to that point in the conversation where both you and they know that you're at the rabbit hole moment where this is actually like a pretty big thing and you're on the precipice or just starting to go into a much more profound conversation, knowing that that's the opportunity to invite them to a separate context, to invite them into a coaching conversation. And this could be something really short. It's like, oh yeah, I'm like struggling with this and this, and it's like, it's really bugging me. And you could just chime right in with like, hey, that sounds really difficult. I help a lot of people with issues just like that. You might even share like a client story, and you can ask them, it's like, hey, would you like support with that? Like, you're free to say no, but like, if you'd like support, we could set up a separate call and let's see if it makes a difference. Let's see if it helps. And so the activities during Coach Like Hell is still, there's a lot of connecting. Like, a lot of your calendar is still going to be connecting with people, and there's going to be more and more coaching. And also, this is where you're going to start having a lot more client creation time. You're going to start to be more intentional about following up after a coaching conversation, following up in between coaching conversations. You're going to be more intentional sitting down, having time, thinking about who you'd like to connect with, thinking about who do you know is having a hard time right now? Who do you know who's up to something big right now? Who do you know who's in some sort of transition? Who do you know who you has had one of those in the past and you could just like reach out to and find out a little bit more about? So there's more intentionality in your connecting and your inviting. All right. So, and permission to make absolutely no money within the Coach Like Hell, because it is this next stage. Like, this is where money starts to come into play in this next stage. And no, this is not making a living yet, this third stage. This third stage is just when money is starting to be introduced. It's starting to become professional. And I like to refer to this stage as make it easy for them to say yes. A lot of coaches really struggle because they skip this stage. They skip ahead from, it's like, okay, I've figured out how to have gifted coaching conversations. Now how do I get them to pay $1,000 per month so I can make a living at this? They like just try to skip ahead to making a living. Like, as soon as they get paid, they think that they should be paid the rate that they eventually want to be paid. So a lot of coaching with integrity is like, let's find some more steps in between. Let's make this simpler. Let's find out what you want to get good at this stage. And by doing so, keeping traction with where you're currently at in your coaching business. And by slowing it down and having like these more fine-grained stages, it's actually going to help you get to profitability faster. Because nothing slows down a business like skipping steps. When you skip steps, you're just going to stall out. And if you've stalled out in your business at any time, you probably want to come back and look at this video in order to find out, okay, what stage am I actually at right now? So anyways, stage three, make it easy for them to say yes. You'll know that it's time for this stage when those people who you're gifting coaching conversations to, they're coming back. they're asking for more. Like, that was awesome. Let's have, like, I'd like another conversation. They're starting to ask you what your rates are. They're starting to ask you what it looks like to work with you. It's clear to you, it's clear to them that they would get more benefit from the next session and the next session and the next session. So that's the sign that it's time to start charging a little bit. And this is the stage where you start getting paid. And it doesn't matter how much. It doesn't matter if it's enough. And it probably you should let go at this stage of it being enough. Because this stage is more about creating some more consistency. You start working with a client for a longer period of time. So instead of gifting them just two or three sessions and then completing, you get to, like, they can keep on working with you. You get to have the experience of someone working with you for a month or 2 months or 3 months or more, where they get to just, they just keep on paying for sessions. And making it easy to say yes lets them start paying, but it doesn't require much enrollment skill on your part. You don't really need to be good at enrollment. You don't really need to know how much benefit they would get from working with you for like a couple months, because you honestly might not know yet. You might not have a good feel for how much value 2 months of coaching is, how much value 6 months of coaching is. Like, a lot of that understanding is earned through experience in your coaching business. So making it easy for them to say yes is just that. Like, hey, like, it makes the business easy. Also within the stage, if you have money edges already, even about being paid just a little bit, this is where you get to, like, gently do the work there. Like, is it okay for them to pay you? Are you worthy of being paid for your coaching? Getting used to them paying for coaching. This is also the stage where you start to get good at having a business, being a solopreneur. You get to start to develop the systems, like the logistics of how do they pay you? Do they give you a check? Is it credit card? Is it Venmo? Is it bank payment? Is it wire transfer? Like, what are the different options, especially for like smaller payments? Getting good at logistics, scheduling, coordinating, ongoing logistics with a client, logistics with juggling a lot of clients, keeping track of notes for clients. Because if people are coming back, like remembering to some degree, like what you've been working on so far with this client. And starting to notice, like, one of the things to like really pay attention to in this stage is what, see if you can notice what happens when they pay you. Like, what role does paying for coaching, even if it's a small amount, what role does paying for coaching play within the coaching? And see if you can notice if it feels like a lot for someone, how that affects the coaching. If it feels like it's really cheap for someone, see how that affects the coaching. Like, get curious about that at this stage, because getting a feel for money here is going to serve you later on in the next stage. Yeah, so let me trace out. So the metrics that you'll be paying attention to the most in this stage is conversations. And I hesitate to put it here, but it's more like just it's the initial billings. It's more like this is the stage that you get to celebrate that you have billings. It's like, yes, I made $10. Like, congratulations, small win. Like, it's the very beginnings of your billings, the beginnings of this actually being a business, the beginnings of being a professional. And the activities, what you want to be filling your calendar with when you're in this stage is coaching conversations. You're going to be wanting to have lots of conversations. And there's going to be more recurring coaching conversations. You want to have a lot of conversations, but the number of clients, the number of people that you're giving coaching conversations to, that's going to go down. So instead of 30 people that you're coaching, it might be 15 or it might be 10 people that you're coaching or five. Because you want ongoing clients to start here. So actually, one of the metrics, perhaps like number of clients, number of like ongoing. So skills at this stage. This stage is, it's the beginning of all the professional skills. Like you're charging money now. It's becoming real. This is where you start to set boundaries. Beginning and ending sessions on time, having limited time, telling people that they only get this, like this is going to be the last gifted session that they have. Telling people that like from now on, it's like each session is going to be this much. And here is how that's going to work. Another word for that is leadership. Like you have processes, you have systems. You start to create the structures of your business, and you let them be pretty simple in this stage. Right. And as I close this stage, draw the line to symbolically say that. When you move into the next stage and even later stages, if at any time you find yourself like your clients are going away, it's too like it seems too expensive for them, and your client count is going down, or you're just out of clients, like someday just like the clients are gone. I want to give you permission to move back to the make it easy for them to say yes stage. I think it's a very common, if not one of the necessary parts of becoming a prosperous coach. At some point, you've had some nice high-paying clients, but then you find yourself unable to enroll more clients at that rate. Whether you still have, like, maybe you have one or two high-paying clients, but no one else wants to pay that. Or you lose those clients and no one else is saying yes to that rate. Permission to go back to this stage. Do whatever you need to do. Charge however, like whatever amount you need to charge in order to get some paid clients into your calendar. Hire some cheap clients. If there's someone who couldn't afford you before, who you'd actually like to go back and serve. Like that can be a great time to go back and offer some like much more inexpensive coaching to that person. So it's this next stage. This is when we're really getting into prosperous coach territory. Considering renaming the stage at the moment. So, I'm going to refer to this stage as value-based coaching. This is where most of that, make sure it's on the screen. This is going to be where most of the prosperous coach teachings and territory. Most of it is actually like centered within this stage. So this is the stage where you start raising your rates. This is the stage where you're creating programs, where you're having more creative offerings. You start working with clients for 2 months, 6 months, a year. This is the stage where you become a prosperous coach. This is the stage where you both get to the point of making a living, like you hit break even, you move beyond that, so that actually like you're starting to make a living at this, and you like moving beyond that to where actually you can be quite prosperous. You can actually make a very healthy living within this stage. Some of the things, important things that happen within this stage is it's really important to get coaching. This is where just skill building and creating systems and trial and error and experience often isn't enough. This is where a lot of your internal blocks are going to stall you out. It's where you're going to hit a lot of the plateaus will often happen within this stage. And also, it's within the stage that you want to make sure that you're continuously becoming a better coach. As you're enrolling coaches, as you're enrolling clients, as you're serving more people, as you're noticing that there's some people who do sign up with you and there's some people who it like you're not able to help them as much. As you work with people for longer periods of time, like these are all like nudges in order to, like they're all ways that you'll discover it's like, oh, I could get better at this little corner here. Like, oh, I'm not quite sure how to handle this particular client situation. Or, oh, like I know that there's so much possible for that person, but I'm not quite sure how to get around this thing, which is actually getting in the way of them signing up with me. So at this stage, the metrics that we're paying attention to yeah, in the stage of value-based coaching, you're paying a lot more t attention to billings, finally. Like now you're paying attention to the money. And this is paying attention to money as feedback, like money as a product of service, money as a product of service and creativity. Money as a reflection of how much of a difference you're making in your client's world. So this is also, there's a lot of shifts around money mindset here, where it's not thinking in terms of hours, but it's thinking in terms of impact. Because it's when clients are paying based on the difference that they believe future coaching will make in their life. That's when you can start making a living much more easily. If they're just paying in terms of like, I like you're worth this much per hour, there's not going to be attention, much attention on value. And yeah, because then you're not going to be able to escape the per hour trap. And it can be possible to think per hour and still be making a living. I've seen some coaches do it. But these are also exhausted coaches. These are also coaches who are holding back. Like often, if you're thinking in terms of hourly, or like a lot of the coaches that I've coached that are still thinking in terms of hourly, they're not really letting themselves go all out within the coaching. When they start charging based on value, based on potential, that's when they give themselves permission to be a better coach. So activities within value-based coaching. There's a lot more enrollment happening That's also the skill. The main skill is there's a lot of enrollment. There's a lot more coaching about the possibility and the potential of future coaching within your coaching conversations. And the higher your rate, the larger scale your programs, the more customized your programs, the bigger their problems, the bigger their opportunities, the more conversation is going to be required, and the more enrollment mastery is going to be required. And there's a lot of other skill sets here as well. There's the skill set of what I like to refer to as your ABCs, which is always be coaching. Because you're focusing on delivering more value. So this is the coaching before conversation. This is the meta coaching within a conversation. This is setting context at the beginning of a conversation at the end of a conversation. This is coaching after and in between conversations. This is where coaching, instead of just being something that happens only when you're on the call with them, it's a relationship. It is a container. There is a coach-client container that is created. And they get to feel like I have a coach. There's like someone there that I can reach out to. Like the coach is still there. You might not be on call. You might not even provide like in between Q&A, but there's a value there which is well beyond just the scheduled time together. And also, there's the skill of pricing and creating programs and finding out like what better serves, like what's going to work for this client. So I imagine like a lot of like there's a lot of this stuff can be brought into the Facebook group for questions and into the group coaching calls. So chances are like one of my goals for everyone in the school is to get them to this stage and to really become a master of this stage, but no skipping steps. So, and a preview of some of the more advanced stages, which we might get some of you to as well. So the fifth stage, this I want to name it as a stage, both to have you excited about it, and because in order to discourage you from skipping ahead to thinking that you should be in this stage already. So I refer to this as the lifestyle stage. There's a lot of people who want to have the prosperous coach lifestyle, but they don't want to create a prosperous coach business. They see the potential, the promise, what a lot of really successful coaches like the way that they're living their lives, the way that they're structured, what they're doing, the amount of ease and power that they have, but that is earned. It is a later stage. It is like built on top of the prosperous coach stage. So in the lifestyle stage, this is where you get to design your business around your lifestyle. It's where your lifestyle actually becomes fu fundamental. Until here, there's being a working coach. Like actually, just to add to the value-based coaching, that you're also a working coach. You clock in, you clock out, you do the work. Lifestyle is like, yes, like this is where you get more ease. Lifestyle is where It's lifestyle first. What kind of life do you want to live? What do you want? If you were a model for your clients of what's possible as a human being, how would you design that? How would you create that? And then you get to show them what's possible. This is also territory where you have people coming to you. There's a lot more people, even as your rates are going higher and higher, there's a lot more people who want to work with you than really you want to work with. So you get to be really selective within this stage. You get to choose your clients. You might even have a lot of extra criteria for the clients who are coming after you. And you have a lot more room to go approach and meet. Like, who are the kinds of clients who you really want to work with? Who inspires you? Who intimidates you that you perhaps might want as a client? So I'd say that the metric at this stage, and it's beyond the metrics for coaching with integrity metrics, who are you being? If you're going to upgrade something, like, where are you living your life from? Where are you coaching from? Where are you creating your business from? And the activities at the lifestyle stage, it's creating. Like, you are a creator. You're at cause. It's a bit more intentional and magical. So you're creating both your life and your business. And skills at this lifestyle stage, just call it life mastery. At this stage, you're good at living a fulfilling, creative, prosperous life. And the coaching is just a part of that. Coaching is like one of the fruits of that life. At this stage, lots of clients will want to work with you, not even nece like not necessarily because of any of your methodology or experience. They'll want to work with you because of who you're being. They want to work with you because there's something inspiring about you. It's easy to charge pretty much anything at this stage because no one can beat you at being you. Like, if someone wants to get a taste of like your particular being, you're the only person that they can work with. And for fun, let's just define like one more stage. Let's get like even more astronomical about like what amazingness is possible, like along the coaching path. And I'm not even sure if this is like a later stage as much as like an invitation at any time. So the stage of reinvention. So, not allowing yourself to get complacent, not allowing yourself to get stuck. There's times where you get to ride and enjoy and rest, and like be incremental or pay attention to other areas of your life. Like, hey, the coaching is handled. It's great. It's amazing. And my inspiration is over here. But I want to hold this out as a possibility that at any time, you always have the option, you always have the possibility to play a bigger game. A bigger or significantly different game. actually sometimes it might be a radically smaller gain. So the metric here, like the thing to really know if you're being fruitful within the reinvention phase is, are you inspired? Like, are you still in love with your coaching business? Are you still in love with coaching? If not, there might be room for reinvention. And for activities, getting coaching. And experimenting, experimentation. Like trying things. This is like the what else. And taking on exciting new projects. Like all bets are off. Like permission to wipe the board clean and try something new. And the skill set for reinvention, creating miracles. It's like we're in spiritual territory. We are in the territory of what wants to be birthed through you. Whereas the level of lifestyle might be a little bit more like, what do I want? Life mastery. How do I really create what I really want? Reinvention, it's where your sense of yourself, the ego, like actually is like getting out of the way for what amazingness does the universe want to move through you? Exciting stuff. So a quick breeze through summary. Six stages. And depending on which stage you're in, you're going to be focusing on different things. And also, no judgment. If you're in the stage of connecting, if you're here, like, no need to judge yourself. Cool. It is utilitarian to figure out what stage are you actually in right now. So it will help you know what to focus on, what to do. Because if what you're doing isn't working, you might want to glance over these stages because you might think that you're in one stage, but actually you're in another. Like if you're actually in a later stage than you think you are, like if you're in coach like hell, and people are asking you to like, for more and more sessions, and you're feeling resentful about like giving away all these coaching conversations, it's perhaps time to start charging. So, connecting, having lots of conversations, making friends, developing that art of meeting new people, being interested, not interesting, and then coach like hell. Developing those conversations, developing those relationships, listening, asking questions, having deeper conversations that naturally lead towards you inviting them into a coaching conversation so that you eventually have a calendar filled with coaching conversations. And when they start coming back for more and asking for more, you start charging them. Start initially charging them in a simple enough form that it's easy for them to say yes. It's easy to start filling your calendar with paid coaching conversations and start learning those little logistics and systems and the way of being a professional coach. And as that ramps up, you're going to start learning more about enrollment. You're going to start seeing more possibility. You're going to start naturally inviting people into larger and higher end programs. You're going to start actually making real money as a coach. You're going to start working all those edges, both yourself and their edges around money and investment and self-worth and commitment. And you know, all those things that start amplifying like around enrollment and committing to future coaching. And eventually, like, that'll start to become lifestyle coaching, where you're not only a successful, prosperous coach, but you're a successful, prosperous human being. And your coaching is just one of the natural outflows of that. And you get to keep on being. You'll find out that there is no limit to how amazing this life can be. And you get to create whatever you want to create. And at any time, there's always the opportunity, if you start getting complacent, or if you get in a rut, to play a bigger or different game, to reinvent yourself, to find that sweet spot where you feel inspired. All right. So to integrate this lesson, ask yourself, what stage are you currently in? Out of the metrics, which ones are you going to focus on? What activities are you going to focus on in order to really fill out, really fulfill the stage that you're in right now? And what are you going to practice? What are you going to get good at? What are some of the things that you've been focusing on that you don't actually need to be focusing on right now? And what are some of the things that you haven't been focusing on that actually, now that you know where you're at, it's time to start focusing on? So when you figure those out, feel free to share them in the Facebook group. All right, and have a good one.